No matter where you look, there they are. In classrooms, at the library.
Yeah, your books, Mr. Drawer.
When I had dinner, they were there too.
Pens, they're everywhere.
I knew they were great for drawing and writing, but where did they come from? How did they get here? What's the story of pens?
I needed to know. I went looking for answers. That's what I do. I'm a detective. My name is Draw. Dan Draw.
I kept running into dead ends until one night there was a knock on my door.
Come in.
Greetings, Detective Dan. I understand you're looking for answers to a riddle.
That's right.
A friend of mine sent me to give you this. It might be helpful.
Thanks. Who's your friend?
How will this help? Just like that, he was gone. I opened the box. Inside there were three things: a piece of clay, a stick, and a part of a bird. What did it mean? Suddenly I realized that I'd be going on an expedition. An art expedition.
The story of pens is quite the tale. In this episode, Chapter 1, we'll uncover the secret origin of pens. Where did they come from and how were they created? To unravel this mystery, we'll look at the three objects given to Detective Dan: the piece of clay, the reed, and the feather. With the help of these three clues, we'll crack the case. Welcome to Art Expedition. Before pens, ancient people created images by carving into stone. Today, these images are called petroglyphs and can be found throughout the world. While petroglyphs can be long-lasting, they certainly aren't portable, and the process for making them can be difficult.
Ow!
Then around 3400 BC in Mesopotamia, the Sumerian civilization developed what is believed to be the oldest form of writing in the world, cuneiform. The Sumerians would press marks into tablets of clay using a stylus, a tool usually made of reeds. These marks, originally pictures, and then later wedge shapes, could express ideas. When the clay dried, they had a light, portable form of communication that could last longer than the spoken word. Later, other cultures and civilizations adopted this system. Historians believe cuneiform continued to be used by various groups up to the 2nd century AD.
I see. So the Sumerians gave us writing and a tool to make those marks. That's an important piece to our puzzle. But we still don't have a pen. I guess we need to look at our next clue.
Around 3200 BC, the Egyptian people were growing into their own civilization. Thanks to the Nile River basin, with its rich soil, they had an abundance of natural resources to help them. The stems of papyrus plants that thrived there were used by the Egyptians to create baskets, boats, ropes, sandals, and a new writing surface, papyrus. Papyrus is where we get the name paper. Smooth and strong, this lightweight material was easy to store and allowed Egyptians to transport messages with ease. Rolled into scrolls, large volumes of information and art could be gathered and moved about. To mark the papyrus, Egyptians created inks of black and other colors using special mixtures that included sap from acacia trees and soot. But how did they put the ink on the papyrus? For that, they used another plant found on the bank of the Nile. Reeds. Using reeds, the Egyptians created the very first pen. To make a pen, a reed was cut to the width of an extended hand, then cut at an angle at one end. That side was narrowed and flattened. It was then split at the point to help the ink flow better. Once complete, the reed was ready to be dipped in the ink and applied to the paper. As the ink ran out, you would dip again. Be careful not to drip. The use of papyrus, ink, and reed pens spread beyond Egypt. With them, people could create and communicate like never before. More complex thoughts could be recorded, copied, and spread. The pen had made its mark.
Wow, so the pen got its start in ancient Egypt. I'm impressed, but I've never seen anyone using a reed to write or draw. There's got to be more to the story of pens. Maybe the feather will give us more answers.
Reed pens were used for many centuries, but they were stiff, and their tips got dull quickly, requiring constant sharpening. They made a thick line, which doesn't allow many words on a page. Meanwhile, papyrus was being replaced by parchment. Parchment was made from animal skins and was more available than papyrus outside of Egypt. It's smoother, which allows people to write quicker and smaller, if only they had a better pen, which came as a quill pen. The English word pen comes from the Latin word penna, meaning feather or quill. The quill is the hollow pointed part of the feather that attaches to the bird. We don't know the date or place bird quills first began to be used as pens, but it was catching on by the 6th century AD. In the early 600s AD, Saint Isidore, the Archbishop of Seville in Spain, mentions the quill along with the reed pen as being scribes' tools in his book Entymologiae, a word encyclopedia. A quill pen is made with the flight feathers of a large bird, usually a goose, swan, or turkey. To make a quill from a feather, start off by removing any excess plumage that might get in the way. Next, the point needs to be hardened to prevent it from shattering and keep it strong. This tempering process can be done in several ways. One method is to soak the point in water, then plunge it into hot sand and let it cool. The point is cut at an angle similar to the reed pen. Then the insides or pith are removed. The point is flattened, pointed, and slit to help with ink flow. Now it's ready to be used. Like the reed pen, the quill is dipped in ink before using it on paper. Quill pens keep their point longer than reed pens, and they give the artist or writer a thinner, more flexible line. The popularity of quill pens grew and spread. Over the next 1,200 years, it became the writing instrument of choice for authors, illustrators, and everyday people. Quill pens were used to create art, write literature, compose music, and record scientific discoveries. With these pens, important documents like the Magna Carta and the U.S. Declaration of Independence were crafted and signed. From the Middle Ages into the 19th century, the quill pen played a key role in making and recording history.
Who knew that a little feather could do all that? With the help of these clues, the story of pens was coming together. It seemed the mystery would soon be solved. It is. Until I remembered.
We don't use feather pens today. There's more to the story.
Just then a secret compartment in the box opened up and something fell out. Then I realized that I was in a cliffhanger and a new chapter was about to begin.